Okay, we're on page 20 in the Stone Chumashim. We're middle of the story of Cain and Hevel. Okay, Hevel was the shepherd, Cain worked the ground. Hevel and Cain both brought sacrifices to Hashem. They brought it, the Medrash says, this we didn't discuss last time, they brought it on the altar, on the Mizbeach, that Adam Rishon, we mentioned that Adam Rishon, the day he was created, wanted to thank Hashem, so he brought a sacrifice. He made an altar and brought a sacrifice. That was the eventual place where the Mizbeach was going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. He was created in Eretz Yisrael, the place that Adam Rishon, the Rambam says, that was the same place Noach brought a carbon after the flood. There was a whole bunch of things happened on that particular Mizbeach. So Cain and Hevel learned from Adam Rishon, from their father basically, that you have to thank Hashem for the goodness he did. So after a while, Hevel and Cain brought a sacrifice to Hashem. Now it's interesting, this we didn't say last week. The Medrash said, when did this happen? Okay? Cain and Hevel's story, when did it happen with the Cain killing Hevel and what went on? So there's a few opinions in the Medrash. It's very interesting. One opinion says, on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, right? Adam has said to his children, you know something? Many years from now, the Jews are going to bring up Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb. It will be a good idea to bring a Korban on this day to Hashem. So according to this opinion of Medrash, it was Erev Pesach. Don't forget, they were created Rosh Hashanah, right? Basically. So this is a half a year later, Pesach time. So Adam Rishon and Erev Pesach told him bring a carbon. Other people said, no, it was Rosh Hashanah. Some people say it was the 50th day from creation. So according to, if you say creation was Pesach, it was Shavuos. If you say it was Tishrei, it was the 15th of Cheshvan. Okay? Other people say it was after 190 days of creation. Whatever. So there's a whole discussion in the Medrash, when exactly did Cain and Hevel bring their carbon? When did they kill each other? I mean, when did Cain kill Hevel? Okay, so that's one thing that needs to be kept in mind. Okay, now, Hevel and Cain both brought their sacrifices. Okay, they both brought their sacrifices. Hashem answered Hevel's sacrifice because he brought from the good stuff. Cain brought from the junk, so Hashem didn't accept it. So Cain got angry. Hashem said to Cain, why are you angry? If you want, you can always do tshuva. Don't be angry. Anyway, what happened was like this. One time they were in the field, Cain and Hevel got into a debate. Okay? And the pasuk just says, Cain got up and killed Hevel. Now, what exactly happened over here is an interesting scenario. What happened like this? Okay, what were they fighting about? What were they fighting about? Brothers have to fight. That's the mitzvah, sibling rivalry. Now, they had a lot to fight about if you think about it, because they're talking about inheritance of the entire world. They had a father who owned the world. And these are two kids inheriting the father. It's a lot of money. Okay? Now that we mentioned last week that they decided to split it. Hevel took the land and Cain took the practical, the tangible items. So Cain says to Hevel, Hevel said to Cain, get off my land. He said, take off the clothes you're wearing. They're mine. I mean, they started fighting. Now, what happened was like this. Cain and Hevel was stronger than Cain. Listen to this. Hevel was stronger physically than Cain was. So when they were fighting, Hevel was on top of Cain. Because he was stronger. Cain says to Hevel, come on, this is not nice that you're fighting with me like this. Our father's going to get very upset. So Cain got off Hevel. Hevel got on top of Cain. He wasn't such a nice guy. So Cain got on top of Hevel, and, okay, now, he didn't exactly know how to kill him. Okay, well, that's what we started discussing. How did he kill him? So the Medrash says that they remember watching their father bring a sacrifice to God. Remember we said Adam Rishon brought a sacrifice. So they saw the way he slaughtered the animal. So they understood you have to kill him by hitting somewhere and making it bleed. But Cain didn't know which part of the body would kill him. They're newcomers to this crime. So he started hitting him in multiple places. And that's why later when the Pasuk says, the bloods of your brother are calling out to me. What bloods? So we're learning this today. One opinion says the various different bloods that he poked him in different parts of the body to kill him. He knew from Adam killing animals, you have to make him bleed. So he started poking him all over the place. So he made him bleed in different places. So it's the blood of the brother.
Did he do it with a knife or a rock?
No, he did it with his hands. He didn't know what knife. What did he have a knife? You're talking about the first days of creation. Oh, well, even after you have the creation. Okay. Well, let's see where I have. Okay, so on page 20.
Well, how would they know there's all these details in Midrash? I mean,
how does the Midrash know? Yeah, God told it to somebody called Moses. Have you hear him? Moses, yeah? Hashem taught oral Torah. How did we know everything in the oral Torah? That's what happened. Okay. What?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If God put these people on earth, and it says God thought it was very good, and he invented these two people that were already not good. They were doing so much bad, and they were being so evil. But
why were they evil?
Killing each other and being jealous of each other, and they've been just
no. Cain was jealous of Hevel.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
But
we'll see. We'll see.
God made in the beginning.
In Hebrew, there's an expression, savlonut, that means patience. Calm it. We're gonna see. There's a reason why God created this scenario. It's to teach us. Because the question is even more. Torah is not a history book. Okay, you think the Torah is telling us all the facts? Adam HaRishon lived 930 years. All the facts of the Torah telling us takes about a week. Okay, what happened the rest of his life? Noach lived 950 years, right? The only thing the Torah tells about is he built an ark for 120 years, which the Torah doesn't tell us what else happened. Okay, and the flood was 40 days, correct?
Right.
And what happened to the rest of his life? Torah doesn't tell us. Torah tells us things that are relevant for us to know. Well, we're going to get there. Let's be patient. Okay, when page 20, Cain killed Hevel, okay? Pasuk 9. Vayayim Hashem al Cain. Okay, he killed him. Yes? As they say in the kids' language, he deaded him. He killed him. Vayayim Hashem al Cain. So Hashem said to Cain, hey, Hevel Achich, where's Hevel, your brother? Which obviously, as all the commentaries say, Hashem knew what happened, obviously, but he's starting a conversation. But what did he do? But I don't know. Hashem, am I my brother's keeper? Don't never say, am I my brother's keeper? Because the guy got into trouble for that. But obviously he lied. Which is another thing over here. He lied. Because he says, I don't know. So again, the crime over here of Cain is another thing. Deceiving God, or he thought. Okay, Hashem says to him, where's your brother? He says, how am I supposed to know? How foolish can it be to realize God didn't know? He tried deceiving God, which by the way, justifying a crime is sometimes worse than the crime itself. You know, people do something wrong. To err is human. People make mistakes. What's worse than making the mistake is justifying your mistake. Or trying to say, no, it wasn't bad. He lied and he said he thought he can deceive Hashem. Or that's why Hashem didn't ask him. Hashem could have asked him point, but why did you kill your brother? Hashem didn't. Hashem wanted to give him a chance to regret what he did and speak openly. Anyway, So Hashem says, one second. Vayemer, so Hashem said to him, okay, now that you realize you're not fooling me, Ma'asisa, what did you do? What did you do? And he said, Kel demeachicha, the voice of the bloods of your brother, Tzeik and Elam in Adama, are crying out to me from the earth. Okay? It wasn't the question, Ma'asisa, what did you do? Again, it's a rhetorical question. Ma'asisa, look how much bad you did. Jealousy, killing, deceiving God, denying a crime, lying. Like, Hashem's telling you, look what you did. Were you crazy? What are you doing so much evil for? And he says, the bloods. Okay, so what's the plural? So he said, like we said, he hit him in different parts of the body, so it was bleeding from all over the place, so it's bloods. Another thing we find will be an interesting lesson. After Hevel denied the crime, Hashem called his bluff. He didn't go along with it. After Cain lied and thought he was deceiving Hashem, Hashem didn't say like they would today in today's psychology, today's therapy. No, it's okay. You have to let him do it and let him alone and let him be good and let him be bad. Hashem said, what did you do? First of all, you didn't fool me. I know exactly what you did. And what are you doing? So he says, the Medrash gives a very interesting analogy. A guy comes into somebody else's garden and steals berries. And the guy gets caught. And he says, what are you doing here? He says, nothing. What are you holding in your hand? Nothing. He opens his hand, it's all purple from the berries. Hashem said to him, what are you, like, your brother's blood is calling out from me, from the earth. Okay? Your hands are stained with blood. That's one translation. Another interpretation, called the Me'achicha, that Rashi also says, is another remarkable thing. When Cain killed Hevel, he didn't only kill Hevel. He killed Hevel's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, basically 7 billion people that could have come out from one person. Like everybody came from other nation, right? So, called him at the blood. You killed him. You didn't only kill him. You killed everything for all future generations. Which, by the way, a very, very interesting lesson the Torah is teaching us over here. Do you know how many kids, okay, went off because one teacher told them something nasty, or something not nice, or something rude, okay? And it's seemingly, okay, so I said one thing to him, but this affected them in such a way that they went off from the proper Torah path, or just from being normal, or whatever it is. And this you find in education. You know, the previous Rebbe writes, he has a whole, Kloli Chinuch V'Hadracha, he wrote, it's printed already, he wrote the Laws of Education. The first thing he writes in the Laws of Education, that when you educate, whether it's children or adults, it doesn't matter. It's not something, okay, I make a mistake, I could correct it. When you make wrong in education, it's a permanent blemish forever. Hashem's telling Cain over here, you killed Hevel. You think it's one act you did? It's not one act that you did. The act that you did by killing your brother is permanent for all generations. And we'll soon get to the point that the commentators discuss. His sin, if you think about it, was worse than Adam. Adam didn't kill anybody. Adam ate, got some, don't eat from the tree, and he ate from the tree. And look what happened to him for all generations. Cain's sin was worse. He killed somebody. It's much worse than eating treif or eating not kosher, eating something you shouldn't be eating. This is a much worse crime. And we're going to see, but what's unique about Cain, and this is why the Torah is telling us the story, Cain became a Baal Tshuva. Cain regretted openly what he said. Before, when other magicians sinned, eating from the tree, and Hashem said to him, what did you do? He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry. He blamed his wife. Right? He didn't come along. Yachas, the Medrash says, oh, the Medrashim repented and did tshuva. But where do we find in Chumash, well, it wasn't too much of a choice, the first guy that actually repented and said, I'm sorry for what I did, was Kayin. Which shows another important lesson. No matter how bad you sin, you could always do tshuva. This is a pretty terrible crime. Killing a brother, lying, deceiving God. I mean, that's all between man to God, the worst of all. And yet what, he did tshuva, and God accepted his repentance. What?
I guess what I found also interesting is that you don't see like such a connection between Adam and Cain and Abel. Like, they became who they were, like, for their professions, but you don't see like a connection to the father. Like, you do some, like, you know how you see with Yosef, you see with Yitzhak, or you see like there's a, like,
you want to know if they ate dinner together? You want to know if they ate dinner together?
Yeah.
I told you, the Torah is not telling us the details of their life.
But it just
the Torah doesn't say if they slept on bunk beds or they slept on regular beds. I mean, the Torah is not telling us the, again, any Torah means guidance, constitution of life. Torah comes with Hora'ah, guidance of life. Every aspect in Torah is to teach us how to live. Things that are not relevant to teach us how to live, the Torah doesn't mention. That doesn't mean there are not a million stories going on between Adam and Chava, husband and wife, and the kids. Okay? I'm sure they talked and discussed things and lived and whatever they did. But it's not relevant for you and I. The Gemara says, you know, we have X amount of Nevi'im, the prophets, yeah? The Gemara says, there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of prophecies. The Gemara says, a prophecy that was relevant for future generations was recorded. Prophecies that were not relevant to future generations were not recorded because it's not relevant. What happened then, Torah is not a history book. Torah is not telling us Adam's relationship with his kids. We'll soon learn when Hevel was... by the way, Cain killed Hevel, yeah? And what happened after that? They called the mortuary. What happened to him? So there's a lot of different opinions. One opinion says, Adam and Chava went for a walk, and they saw this Cain on the, Hevel on the ground. And they didn't even know what to do with it. You know, today we take everything for granted. Somebody passes away, you bury them. Yeah? Today you know how to kill somebody. Everybody's experts in how killing people. They didn't know anything. So it says, Hashem made, the different medrashim. One medrash says, after Cain killed Hevel, he didn't know what to do with the body. He said, I can't let my parents see this. Right? So one opinion says, he happened to see one animal kill another animal, and the animal started digging a hole and burying the animal. So that's how Cain knew what to do to Hevel to bury him. Huh? Think about it. What did they didn't know anything.
But they didn't even have empathy. Like, he didn't feel like this is his brother and he's killing him.
Well, he did. He regretted it. Okay, let's go further and we'll see that he did really regret it.
Were they married or pregnant or not yet? Or?
They weren't married yet. They were jealous over the extra sister. Okay. In fact, it says, okay, one second. So he says, called me achicha tzek in leilam min adam, right? Your brother's blood is calling to me, blood's plural, from all the future generations, all the righteous people that would have come from Hevel, now are not there, and they're all crying. Okay? Now, in fact, the commentators ask another question. Why didn't God kill Hevel? Cain. If a non-Jew transgresses one of the seven Noahide laws, you get killed. Murder was one of the seven Noahide laws. So why didn't God kill Hevel? So number one, the answer is he did tshuva. And therefore, because God was the only judge at that time, he meant it, and God accepted his tshuva. But even logic, even if they didn't know that Adam was commander, maybe God didn't command them yet, the six or seven Noahide laws. Bottom line was that logically, you just don't kill people. Like the Gemara says, even if the Torah, God forbid, wouldn't have been given, we would know not to steal and not to kill. I mean, that's logical. Okay. The Ata now, ordered Ata Mino Adama, you are cursed more than the ground. Okay? Meaning, even though the ground was cursed already when Adam and Chava sinned, like we learned before, nevertheless, you're worse than the ground. Meaning, a few things. Number one, your curse is gonna come from the ground, because God made him a wanderer. He wasn't allowed to live in one place, so he had to start walking around the earth. Because Cain was a farmer, Hevel dealt with sheep, right? Cain was a farmer, so God cursed him and said, you're not gonna be able to plant something in one place. He's gonna keep looking for fertile land, because wherever he went, the earth was not gonna produce. That was the curse, that the earth is cursing Cain for that. Or, by the way, is another interesting thing. The Medrash says, you know when the Egyptians drowned in the sea? You know, Kriyas Yamsef, right? The Egyptians drowned. It says in the Medrash, the sea didn't want them, so they spit them out on the dry land. The dry land didn't want them, they spit them back into the sea. It was a fight going on. Nobody wanted the dead corpse of the Egyptians. Finally, Hashem said, okay, go back into the sea and that's where you're gonna be. The land persisted to bury Hevel. The earth didn't want to accept it. And Hashem reassured it, you know, he's not gonna bring it to judgment. Because the earth, meaning the angel in charge of the earth, said, I don't want to bury Cain. I don't want to be a part, Hevel. I don't want to be a part of this crime. If I'm burying him, I'm covering up the evidence, so then I'm part of the crime. And the earth says, I don't want to be part of the crime. And God promised the earth, don't worry, I'm not going to judge you for it. Bury him, and that's it. Okay, so he says like this. Ashepatzas pia, the earth opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood, and therefore, the earth is really a partner in the crime, just like you are. You killed your brother. You covered it with earth, with the blood with earth, and it's gonna spit it out. Okay. Because you used, and this is all Hashem cursing Cain through the ground. Hashem said to Cain, because you used the earth to cover up your crime, the earth will not produce the produce that you are supposed to get from it. And therefore you have to become a wanderer. Okay. Va'ata order Hashem, lokachas is demei achichem yadecho, for the earth taking the blood of your brother in his hands. And therefore he says like this. He saved us so adama, from now on when you work the ground, because that was his profession. Lo'itesiv teis kecholoch. You shall no longer yield its strength to you. Hashem's saying simply to Cain, you're a farmer, the earth that you plant will not produce what it's supposed to produce. So that's a curse to Cain through the earth. And therefore the commentaries say, when you are cursed, min ha'adama, doesn't only mean, like Rashi says, more than the earth, it means the earth is going to be cursing you because of the crime you did. The taste of taste kecholoch is not gonna, okay, number one, the earth will not give its natural fertility, and it won't even respond to plowing and planting like it did before.
Now, is this only to Cain, or was this all future generations?
Cain only. But Chlal, I mean, that's not for now, but you know who invented the plow? Noah. Huh? Noach invented the plow, as it says at the end of Bereishis.
So Cain didn't have any fruits and vegetables.
He planted, but it didn't grow what it was supposed to.
But Adam and Chava.
Yeah, they had what to eat.
But they didn't share with the king.
No, he was exiled now. After this point, Hashem is going to exile him. See, he wasn't living at home anymore.
So what was he eating?
Huh? What it produced, but not anywhere near what it was supposed to produce.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's saying. Yeah, it produced a little bit, but not anything more. And that's what it says. In fact, the Medrash says, Rabbi Lazar says, to you it will not produce the proper amount, but to others it will. There weren't too many people around at this time, by the way. The world says it's an incorrect thing. The world said, who killed a quarter of the world's population? So when Cain killed Hevel, officially he killed a quarter of the world's population. But it really wasn't true, because Cain had a twin sister. Hevel had two twins with him. So there were actually 4, 5, 6, 7 people living in the world at this time. Now Hevel's gone, so it's down to 6.
It just wants to say that if you are doing something bad, there are consequences.
Yep.
That's what the message is.
The message is more than that. Number one, there are consequences. And secondly, you can repent. There's always room for repentance. What?
So Cain is the only guy in the earth, and we all from him, right?
No, because, we're not from Cain. Because eventually Cain got killed. But at the end of the parasha, it says, Adam was separated from Chava after he sinned. He separated from his wife for 130 years.
Okay.
He said, if people are going to die, why bother having kids? Okay? Cain got Adam to relive with Chava, and they had a kid, Chase. And we are, the whole world is from Chase, not from Cain. We're going to learn soon that Cain got killed eventually after 7 generations.
And he had children.
Who? Yeah. But the world officially, according to the end of the Pasha, we all come from Chase, not from them.
The world meaning everyone, all humanity.
All humanity comes from Chase. Well, we come from Adam.
Different colors and eye shapes and everything through history.
Well, basically the three, the white, the orientals, and the black come from their three kids, Shem, Chum, and Yafes. Shem is the white community, Chum is the black community, and Yafes is the orientals. So these three different, I don't know, call them race or whatever you want to call them. Can be a racist. So they all come from Noach's three kids.
So shame includes the non-Jewish,
sure,
white people.
It includes all the white people.
You know, there's a guy by the name of Yitzchak. You ever hear of him? Yeah? He had two kids, Yaakov and Esav. Mm-hmm. The Jews came from Yaakov. And who came from Esav? All the Romans, that whole, right?
Amalek.
I mean, all the goyim came from Shem. The white goyim came from Esav. Yeah.
Muslims for Ishmael.
It's questionable.
It really says they were separated 130 years. I mean.
No, I made it up.
Good story.
Yeah. You know, I write Bubba my first time you hear it? Can I tell you a little secret? Rashi says it. When it says when Adam Rish was 130 years old, he gave birth to Chase. So Rashi says, Atkan Pidush Mino Isha. Rashi says in the Gemara, for 130 years after Chet Tadas, Adam Rishon separated himself from his wife. That means they didn't have children, okay? Did they live in the same house? I'm sure they did. Rent was very expensive in those days.
Cain and Abel came before the 130 years?
Who?
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel were born on day one. What?
Before they were kicked out?
Yeah. What?
How long did they separate after the sin?
The sin was on day one.
No, but after, how long did Adam and Hava separate from each other?
130 years. Okay, let's go. Okay, so listen now. So Cain says to Hashem, this is very important. V'yemer Cain al Hashem, Cain says to Hashem, Godel aveini minsei, this is a statement as a question. Is my sin too great for you to forgive? And this is where Cain admits his sin and says to God, can you not forgive me? Okay, I'm sorry. This is the first guy asking. Adam didn't, if we don't find the Chumash, Adam Rishon asked forgiveness. He just blamed Chava, right? Here, Cain says, Gadol aveini minsei. It's a question, not a statement. Is my sin too great that you should be forgiven? And he says, I'm talking about different commentaries say the statements. The Medrash says, you handle the higher worlds and the lower worlds, the universe, and you can't handle my sin. You are known as all merciful. You're a great person. Some people say, Targum Yainasin says, it's not a question. Rashi says it's a question. Is my sin too much for you to forgive? And other commentaries say, no, he said a statement. My sin is too great to be forgiven, right? But you can forgive it anyway. You can forgive it anyway. And he said like this, the Medrash says that Cain said, my sin is worse than my father's. You can open that window if you like. Get some air. No, we mentioned before, it's very simple. He killed somebody. Adam Rishon didn't kill somebody. Adam Rishon ate what he shouldn't eat. Big deal.
So why he did it, if he realized, I mean...
No, he just said, my sin is very great. It's, you know, I understand. And because of my father's sin, Adam's sin, he was banished from Gan Eden. So Cain said, I understand I'm going to be punished. And he accepted it. With slight details. He says like this, Hang it, Ashta AC, I know that you're gonna drive me away today, because of my sin. Okay, you have banished me this day from the face of the earth. Can I hear, Umipanecha Saser, can I be hidden from your presence? Cain says to God, I really don't know what you're gonna do to me, because wherever I am, you're there. You're all over the place, God. So, like, what do you expect me to do? Therefore, he says, Hayisi nav and nav ba'aretz. He said like this, I have a problem, Cain says. I'm going to become a wanderer. Like, he basically, God told him already, the earth will not produce. You're going to have to wander around. He said, V'hayach ha'meitzi argeni. Whoever finds me is going to kill me.
Who's going to find him?
Who's the whoever?
Well, eventually they knew there were going to be other kids around. Okay, so...
Why would they kill him?
Doesn't it refer to animals too that might kill him?
Animals might kill him. Yeah.
Well, how would animals say, you kill your brother and I'm going to kill you?
Animals might kill him. People might kill him. In other words, like this. Let me explain to you something. The Pasuk says... God said to Adam Rishon and to Noach, by the way, Umerachem v'chitchem you are kol chayes ha'aretz. The fear of man, and this is another very remarkable concept, it's not practical today, as we'll soon see why. When God created mankind, Hashem said, your fear will be on all the animals of the world. Okay? Which means By nature of creation, animals are afraid of people. Animals are afraid of people by nature. When a person sins, this godly image on the forehead disintegrates through sin. And therefore, when an animal looks at a person, all they see is another animal. The Zohar says in the Zohar, you know the story of Daniel and the lions? Okay, Nebuchadnezzar threw Daniel into the lion's den and he starved the lions for a few days, right? And the lions didn't eat him. Yes? Everybody knows that story. Just stop, I don't know. Huh? Okay. No, your thing stopped. Whatever. There was a Jewish prophet, Daniel. He lived in the same time as Mordechai. Okay? The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, didn't like the way Daniel was fighting and bringing out godliness and all that. Okay? So he threw him into a lion's den. First, the Pasuk says that he starved the lions. And then he threw Daniel into the lion's den. And what happened was, a miracle happened seemingly, the lions crouched down and didn't eat him. Okay? So everybody, when you hear the story, says, wow, it's a miracle. The Zohar says it's not a miracle. It's a very simple thing. Daniel was a tzaddik. He was one of the prophets, right? The vision, image of God was on his forehead. It never rubbed off. Yes? So when the lions saw him, by nature, they bowed down to him. They didn't touch him. So Cain said, until now I have this sign of God on me, so to speak, that all the animals and people, everybody's going to be afraid to kill me. Now I don't have it. So whoever finds me is going to kill me because they'll see another animal. So what did God say? V'yemele Hashem, Hashem said to him, okay, Lochein kol heide Kayin. God said like this, whoever kills Kayin before 7 generations, will be punished. In other words, God basically told Kayin, 7, don't forget, they live very long. They had a lot of kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. Okay. Hashem said to Kayin, whoever kills you before 7 generations are up, they will be punished. Which means, after 7 generations, you're going to be killed. V'yosem Hashem l'Kayin l'Eis, God made a sign for Kayin, levilti hakeis eisei kol meisei, that nobody should be able to kill him. Okay? Now, that's what God wanted. Okay? Meaning God said, because Ramban says, because Kayin admitted a sin, Hashem said, I accept his tshuva, he'll be protected for 7 generations. Okay? Now, what was the sign? What was the sign? It's very interesting. Okay, listen to this. Miyamleh says, the animals, led by the snake, came to God demanding that Abel's death be avenged. All of a sudden, the Nochash became so holy. God answered, listen, there was never a precedent in this case of somebody killing somebody to be put. I can't do it. Okay? So what did Hashem do? He put a sign on his forehead. That's what it says. One opinion says God put a letter of his name, a letter of God's name on his forehead. Did he use marker or whatever? I don't know. But God put a sign on his forehead. Other people, that animals should fear him again. Other people say God made a horn grow out of his head. That should be a sign that nobody should kill him. And some people say, interesting, he assigned a dog to accompany Kayin wherever he went. Why a dog? Oops, a dog? Why a dog? See, he brings down over here the Chofetz Chaim says, why was a dog is outstanding in its loyalty to its master who has done it in good turn. Hevel, remember we said he was on top and then he let Cain out? Okay. So the dog was a reminder of lack of Cain's loyalty to his brother Hevel. Hevel helped him. Hevel was able to beat him up. But Hevel let him off. And yet, Cain showed no loyalty to his brother. So God said, I'm giving you a sign as a dog to remind you of what it means to be loyal. It's a lot of interesting lessons if you stop to think for a minute. Concept of loyalty, how important loyalty is, how one small action has impact for all of generations and the entire world, how repentance can help no matter how big this engraved the sin is, repentance is accepted, and life goes on as normal. There's a lot of very interesting lessons from this Cain story. By the way, another thing it says in the Medrash, wherever Cain went, the sun shined on his face. So that was a sign that he was different, that he shouldn't be, okay. So the Pasuk says not like this. Vayetze Cain milifnei Hashem. Cain left Hashem where he was, you know, where Adam and Eve was banished from. He settled in the land of Neid, which was east of Eden. Why? Because Adam Rishu was thrown out of Gan Eden to the east, so he went even more than that. Okay, he left, but now the commentators explain a few things. Rashi says he went out very subdued. He came out, he tricked God, he thought he tricked God, and it wasn't true, he was insulted. Other commentaries say he left very happy, because God was going to protect him. Okay.
Did he ever get married?
Yeah, Cain got married.
Coming up
next, huh? Vayeh Cain Sishtei. His sister. And who else was there? They had such a wide variety to choose from.
It was so bad. Was it? Sisters.
Huh? Sisters. Yeah, it was a shatkin. I didn't know who it was. It must have been Chava, because what else would she do all day? Right? There was no Saks Fifth Avenue to shop. There was no Lomans. There was no Marshalls. There was no TJ Maxx.
I can't believe that you know all of those, the name of all of those stores.
Who do you think pays the bills in my house? You know, I do have a wife, thank God. Okay. I mean, it's like, what did Olam Chava do all day?
Make babies.
No, they didn't have that many babies. For 130 years, they had only two kids. I mean, come on.
Adam
knew Torah. I mean, Adam was a much greater neshama than Adam Rishon's soul included within it all the souls of all future Jewish generations. All the heads of the Jewish people, you know, the tzaddikim, the leaders of the Jewish people, were in Adam Rishon's head. All the other people, you know, all the souls of all generations were included in Adam Rishon. You know, when you have Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida, you know those? So, Adam Rishon was Chaya, Mashiach, Yechida. Adam Rishon was Chaya. Adam Rishon was Yetzir Kapov Shagur. You have no understanding. You know, it sounds over here, he's a bad guy, he sinned, and the whole story. Adam Rishon was the formation of God's hands. Every single soul of every single Jew of all generations were included in the soul of Adam Rishon. Do you know how great that guy was? So he definitely learned Torah. I mean, I don't know if he learned Chumash, that he sinned. I know that maybe he wouldn't have sinned. But Of course he was much greater than Noach. Noach learned Torah, Rashi says, because otherwise how would he know the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals? It's obviously Rashi says in the Medrash, Mikan, that Noach learned Torah. What, did he learn all of Torah like that? It's impossible to know how much of Torah he learned. But he learned enough to know what's kosher and not kosher. He didn't keep mitzvahs. Noach didn't keep any mitzvahs, except the seven Noahic laws. Okay. Now, Vayeda Kayan is Isha. The Barbanel says like this. Because Kayan...
What
was Shukriya? Perek Dalid... 17.
So, when Noah was in the ark, what could he eat? Because he had those animals, he couldn't eat them.
He wasn't allowed to eat meat until after the flood anyway.
But that was a long time though, right?
What do you mean?
It was 100 years that they were in the ark.
No.
One year?
That's it. So it took him 120 years, even the 100, until after the flood, they were not allowed to eat meat.
Nobody.
The world was vegetarian. After the flood is when God said, now you can eat meat, but you can't eat the live limb off an animal.
So what did he eat in the ark?
Pizza.
They were in the ark. They couldn't go and get
God told them in the Seder, the reader, it says God told them, take all the food that you need. And miracles. I know we're not learning Noach now. Okay. Do you know God had to tell Noach, get out of the Teva? Same in our Teva? Okay. Do you know what it is? The ark was 450 feet long, 100 feet wide, and there were three floors. Yeah? It's a little bit crowded after a while. Yeah? Not only that, as we discussed Shabbos, he had to take care of all the animals. Yeah? What people don't realize, and here where Hasidus and Kabbalah come into the picture, sheds light, God, it says, after the flood, Hashem said to Noach, Tzei min ha-teva, go out. Right? Can you imagine? God has to tell him to go out? He probably opened the door and ran out. Noach didn't leave the ark until God said to him, go out. Why didn't he want to go out?
He was comfortable.
It says in the Zohar, okay, it says in the Zohar, that the inside the ark was similar to the Messianic era of Mashiach. Where the wolf lives peacefully with the lamb, Vigar Zev and Kevis. Do you know what it is? All the animals lived in harmony in that little zoo box. You know, the LA Zoo is about a million times bigger than the Teva was. Right? Even a tiny zoo, a petting zoo is almost as big as the Teva was. It says in the Zohar, it was such a revelation of godliness in the ark. It was similar to the era of Mashiach when all the animals are going to live peacefully together. So Noach, the Zohar says, didn't want to leave the table, even though he was kicked by the lion and he was bleeding and groaning and moaning, like we learned. He didn't want to leave the table because it was a very special time. Just think about it. A miracle happened, the food didn't. They didn't have freezers in those days. Yeah? If you take in produce, how long does produce last? A week? 2 weeks? It lasted a year. Right? They had enough food for a year, for all the animals. Some of these guys eat a lot. Okay? The whole concept of the flood, which we're not there yet. The water was hot, boiling hot water, yet the fish survived outside the Teva. You know what was going on? So, but Noach wasn't anywhere near the greatness of Adam.
So would you say that the miracle of the moon would be the same as what was happening in that Teva?
The what?
The miracle, the man that was coming from when they were the Jews. They
in the desert?
Yes.
No.
Would be as equal as the what was in the table?
It was different. It wasn't equal, not equal. It was different. The era of the table, like lots of love. But Adam Rishon was great. Cain and Abel were great. I mean, they were great people. What?
What was the merit of the revelation of Hashem in the Teva? Like, why did they deserve that, so to speak?
They didn't deserve it. The animals in the Teva were the animals that behaved. Which animals went into the ark? Okay, two of treif, seven of kosher, right? So the Medrash says, the ark only accepted animals that behaved, even between animals themselves.
So there were animals that did not survive also?
Let me ask you a question. Do you think there were only two elephants in the world at the time of the Teva, of the Mabul? Or there were more? More. How many elephants were not kosher, by the way? How many elephants survived? Two. Out of millions. Yes?
But there were so many different, for example, birds. It said, you know, all the animals of the world, they were in there. But right now we have like thousands and thousands different kinds of birds.
Right. Well, first of all, could be then there weren't as many species, because species develop. But even when it is, there's tremendous amount of animal. But there are seven sheep, right? There weren't seven sheep in the world.
I thought it was like take seven kosher or whatever. No,
it says, how did he, Adam, Noach said, how am I supposed to know which ones are going to go? Hashem said the ark itself will let in those animals that they deserve to go in.
So the fact that it was seven was because only seven behaved, so to speak?
Not only seven. Seven, that's it.
But seven couples.
No, most of people say seven means seven, not 714. Two is... But seven, it doesn't say... Most commentaries say seven doesn't mean seven pairs. It means seven.
And the two itself also meant that those were the ones... Hashem didn't say take two. It was happened so the two...
They were on the top of the class, so they got it. To Harvard, you know, you have to get good grades. So. Okay, next. What is this show? Okay. The Ramban says, this is, Hashem is, look how nice Hashem was to Cain. He didn't kill him until he saw seven generations of descendants. Yeah? Cain killed Hevel. He repented. Hashem allowed him to see seven generations of children and grandchildren, you know, before he got killed. It shows how merciful, the Ramban says, how merciful Hashem was. Okay? Now, what did he do? He lived with his wife. Vatar Vatelev Chanech, he gave birth to Chanech. That was the name he called him. Okay. Vayi by Neir, he built a city. He changed his profession. Agriculture wasn't working for him because he was cursed, right? So he went into the construction business. No, that's what it says. So he built a city. Okay. The Ramban says, Cain didn't know he was going to have kids. He didn't know anything. So now that he had kids, he decided to build a city. Okay. Okay, he was still wandering, but he built... Okay, in other words like this, Cain, because he was told to be a wanderer, so he couldn't build a city, because that means he settled down. So the commentaries explain that's why Cain named the city Chanech on his son's name, because to show it, I'm building it for him. I'm a wanderer. I'm still going to be wandering around. It's as if Chanech built it for himself. Okay, now, the Yivalid L'Chanech HaSirod, now it's going into the generations. So Cain gave birth to Chanech, Chanech gave birth to Irad, Irad as gave birth to Mechuyoel, Mechuyoel yolada Mesushoel, and Mesushoel yolada Slamach. Okay, so these are the six or seven generations of Cain's existence before he got killed.
Who killed him?
We're going to see, well, not today, but next week we're going to see Lamach, his seventh generation grandson, who was blind. By the way, we'll learn, he killed him.
Why?
Why or how?
Why and how?
Okay, we'll see next week. No, because he was blind, so he was led by one of his kids, Tuvok Kayan. And the way it worked with Lemah, because he was blind, when they were hunters, right? So he told his grandfather, I mean his father, Tuvok Kayan, there's an animal there. And Lemach, blind as he was, shot the arrow and it killed him. He saw from very far away, he saw Cain. And because he had a horn or whatever it was, he thought it was an animal. So Cain said to Lemach, there's an animal. He shot the thing and then he killed him. And then it says, when Lemach found out that he killed Cain, he went like this, and his son's head happened to be in the way, and he killed his son at the same time.
Why would he do this?
So much murder.
Because he was upset.
Huh? The beginning of the world. So much murder going on. And all these people are very, like, they are supposed to be very pleasant, and so much murder.
We're not done with the story yet.
It's a car.
Today.